for the sake of the gospel, to not compromise on God's word, you have to lay something down. You have to do it.
Amen. Amen. Alex, let me ask you a question. We covered this yesterday. Elon Musk, what of his billions does he get to take with him when he dies?
Nothing.
What of his material things does he get to take with him?
Nothing.
What of his friends and fame and relationships does he get to take with him as a worldly man?
Nothing.
How about what do you, maybe none of us are ever going to be as rich and famous as Elon Musk, what do we get to take with us?
The people that we call upon to God, the people that we bring from,
amen,
from death to salvation.
Yeah, the people that we can help, encourage in the Lord, that's all we can take. So what we would ask you, what the Bible asks you to surrender and give up, is everything you're going to have to give up at death anyway. You can't take any of it with you.
Yeah.
You can't take any of it with you. Your family, that is your blood family, if they're not born of Jesus, they're really not your eternal family, are they?
No.
Your eternal family are your brother and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
Remember, do you remember the story of, not the story, I hate that word story, they make it sound like it's fake, the account. The account of Jesus when they said, hey, your mother and your brothers are out there at the door. And he said, who is my mother and brothers? What did he say? What did he say?
He said, everyone who is here and who believes is my brother and sister.
Yeah, you're close. He said, everyone who does the will of my Father.
Oh.
Which, that's very close. If you believe, you're going to do the will of the Father. So, if your dad and your mom and your... Do you have brothers and sisters, by the way?
I do.
Okay. If they don't want to do the will of God, they're not your eternal family.
Yeah.
God's people become your eternal family. So, Christ shed his blood and died for you. Because he's a conditional God, he says, now you die and come follow me. Seems fair, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he gives you eternal life, something far greater than anything you'll ever have on this earth.
Yeah.
Because at best, you're going to live 70, 80, 90, or 100 years if you're like one in a million. But you're going to die and leave everything behind. But God says, come, you can be a pillar in my temple. You can be my son. You can be my child. You can rule with me. He gives us so much more. And so the people, as Brother Zealous was saying, hills to die on. Oh, and I want to tell you a quick story. There was a young man, Brother Zealous knows this young man. His name was Michael. And he met me out street preaching. Man, this guy was on me in a good way. For hours, street preaching, asking me questions. He was like drawn to me like flies to honey or whatever you want to call it. And it was awesome. He was asking me questions. He followed up with an email. And he said, oh, I want to know more. I want to follow Christ. I want to do this. Well, he met me in a park. This was in South Dakota. He met me in a park and I got brothers on the line. We started talking to him. But before we got online, he was sitting there and he's like, I really want to be a man of God. I want to be holy. Yeah, I know my church has some issues, some sin. He was going to a Pentecostal church like you. And his father was the pastor, by the way. And he was sitting there all excited. Everything for Jesus. I want to know more. I want to follow him. And I said, ready? Literally, Sister Amin, my wife, saw this. He was all leaning forward in the chair towards me, leaning forward, all excited about Jesus. He wants to do more. He wants to follow and obey. I said, you realize you're going to have to leave your family and your church to follow Jesus. Alex, I'm not kidding you. Literally, he looked at me with like deer in the headlights look. He leaned backwards in his lawn chair we were sitting in, and he looked at me and he said, what? I said, to follow Christ, I said, you can't follow him in that false church. You admit their sin there. And if your family doesn't come with, I said, you can't be united to them. You have to leave them. He's one of 12 children. Big family.
Oh, wow.
He looked at me, and you know what he said, Alex?
What?
Oh, that would be hard. I could never do that. And I looked at him and I said, I love you, Michael, but I said, you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you're not willing to forsake all for Christ. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, be willing to forsake mother, father, husbands, wives, lands, everything. From that moment on, that young man made excuses to not leave his church and his family. And he texted me the other day. He's still at that worldly corrupt church because he wants to hold on to his family and his brothers and sisters. On judgment day, what do you think is going to happen to him, Alex?
He's gonna go to hell.
You're going to be turned away. Why?
Yeah. Because he's not willing to leave the worldly and corrupt church system.
Amen. Amen. And seek, we talked about this yesterday, seek that which is incorruptible. The kingdom of God is incorruptible. The kingdom of Satan, the world, and the church systems are corruptible. And I want to switch gears here. So did you have any more questions about the gospel or anything?
No, that was it. That was for my only question.
It's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you have questions, you can ask us, you can email us, whatever. We'll get back on the phone with you. But I want to switch gears on for a second. So that young man I told you about admitted his church kept sin. He's still there and they haven't changed nothing. And so what I want to go to you is say, if you believe that gospel, if you look at your church system, do you see sin at your church system?
Yes.
What can we go over what it is? Because I haven't done the testing that I told you I would do, and you still want me to do it, I'll do it. But if you see it, because you go there, so based upon what you know about Scripture, and we won't even name your church right here. It's immaterial, the name of it. But it's a Pentecostal light church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the sin that you see going on there? Would you be willing to talk about that?
I mean, I wouldn't mind talking about it, but it's just like I'm not there to where I could tell you what type of sin it is, you know.
Well, wait. You said you see it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what type it is. I mean, name. Okay. Let me ask you this. Now that you know the gospel, you know what holiness is. You know every area of your life has to be under Christ. You know you can't be like the world. You understand that there's a whole bunch of sin at that church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not talking about it. Yeah, the five main points that you said that we need to keep always, and it can't just be two or three of them, and then the other two we don't keep. I feel like that's what the church is that it needs, you know. I feel like that's what they don't include when talking about the gospel, you know. And like you had said, you know, Satan could tell a lie with a truth in it, you know.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and so here's a good way to say it, ready? The gospel they preach, if it's not that biblical gospel that you agreed needs every step of all five of those, and if it doesn't call you out of the world and out of all false ways, is it the gospel of Jesus Christ?
No.
No. So that gospel they preach doesn't call people out of the world, does it?
Mm-mm.
That gospel they preach doesn't really call people to a saving faith, does it?
No.
The gospel doesn't call people to biblical repentance, leaving sin and worldliness and carnality and false traditions, does it?
No.
That gospel doesn't really teach people how to be born from above by the Holy Spirit of God, does it?
No.
And that gospel does not teach people to walk in the fruit of being born again. Holiness, obedience, coming out of the world, leaving every false way. They don't do that, do they? Now, there's one area they may agree with. Yeah, you got to keep believing in Jesus. I don't know exactly what they teach at that church. I haven't looked it up. So they may believe, oh, you got it. Yeah, you do have to keep believing. But even their believing is wrong because it's not a godly saving belief. It's just a head knowledge belief.
Yeah.
And here's the problem. I hope you're not this. If you are, you need to repent. I love you. I got to tell you that. Most of the people go there are probably hypocrites, aren't they?
Yeah.
They say they love God. They do music and song. They do worship service. When they leave there, what do, Alex?
They go back to worldly things.
Yep.
They're lukewarm.
Yeah, lukewarm. Hey, what did Jesus say in Revelation 2 and 3 is going to happen to you with that, Alex?
I don't really know, but I could add on to that, which is that you cannot either be good or bad. You could either be one, and sin cannot coexist with God either.
Amen.
So it's either one or the other. There's no in between.
Amen, amen. He says in Revelation, he will spew them out of his mouth, which means they'll have no place with him when you're lukewarm. And so...
Mm-hmm.
And so think about that church system that you're going to. Is that going to help you into eternal life?
No.
All right, so when we were texting, you texted me about, like, instrumental music. And that's a topic that we would love to take on someday with you. I don't know if today's the day or not. I don't know how much time you have or whatever. But do you understand that, first of all, that emotional, fleshly music with all those instruments, even if it was biblical and it's not, do you realize that even if you sang biblical music, but you go out and live like the world in hypocrisy, you think God wants that music?
No.
No. Yeah, I always tell men this. You're not married, but imagine you're married to a woman that you love, and you come home every day, and the house is clean, and she cooks you an 8-course meal. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
What if you find out she's sleeping with your best friend? Is the food and the clean house mean anything to you?
No.
You wouldn't say, well, yeah, she's sleeping with my best friend, but she cooks good and the house is clean. You'd go, how could you do this to me, right?
Yeah.
So God says, I don't want your little bit of religiosity here and there. I want all of you in holiness and righteousness.
Yeah.
So what do you think a man like you has to do if he wants to follow Jesus Christ in spirit and truth? And he's given a confession here saying, I will follow God no matter the cost. What does he have to do with, well, I need it, before I answer that, I want to read a Bible verse to you. Romans, do you know what the Bible calls us to do with people that claim Jesus but live in sin? Let me ask you a question. Do you think he tells us to draw close to them or reject them?
Reject them.
Yeah. Romans 16:17. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine. That's instruction from God's word, which you have learned, and avoid them. Why do you think God wants you to avoid people that live in religious hypocrisy and sin and worldliness?
Because you would be deemed just like them.
Yep.
On the day of judgment.
Yep. Yep, take no part, don't sit in the seat of scorners. Now, we will preach the gospel to them. If they want us to come witness to them, we'll go to their house and witness to them. But we don't become friends with them, we don't cozy up with them, we don't associate with them. We only go for the cause of the gospel. If they don't want the gospel, we have nothing to do with them if they claim Christ.
Yeah.
So what would a man like you have to do with this religious body that says they love Jesus, but you've just admitted they don't? Because Jesus said, if you love me, what?
You will follow me.
Yeah, keep my commandments, die to yourself.
Yeah.
What must you do with that body?
Kill it.
And
kill it.
Yeah, short of not violence against them, but would you kill it, what would you do?
What do you mean, like, just kill my worldly desires in it?
Things
that my flesh wants to do.
No, but yep, you got to do that. But I'm talking about that body specifically. Can you stay united to it?
Oh, no.
Can you keep going there and singing and praying with a bunch of religious, sinful hypocrites?
No.
That's what I meant. So what would you have to do? You'd have to leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you leaving it for?
For God.
Right. Right. Brother Zelos has a testimony of leaving. Have you ever heard of a group called the Hutterites?
No.
There's a group of people called Hutterites that live in Canada. You were interested in Canada. And they live in, like, colonies, and they're very much a religious group. Brother Zelos can share with you quickly, not his whole testimony. That would take a long time. He's got quite a testimony. But he could share with you his journey to come out of man-made religion. Share that with him, Brother Zelos.
In a nutshell, I was born and raised in a religious cult, and I had to hold God's truth above that. And the more I studied God's word, and it was a long battle, but God's word eventually convicted me about, it's called biblical separation. Have you ever heard of biblical separation?
No.
Brother Tupos can probably talk about it more. There's articles in the websites on it if you want to go in depth in it later.
Yeah, and Romans 16:17 is part of that, telling us, those people that claim Christ, that live in sin, we have to separate from them because they're leavened, they're sinful, and like you said, they'll affect us, right, Alex? Yeah. But the people of the world that don't claim Christ, we go and we preach the gospel to them. We call them to come. But we put people that claim Christ out of our lives to glorify God, to protect us, and to call them out of their sin so they'll repent and they can find salvation.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Zolas.
Yeah, so long story short, they have a laundry list of sins that is probably longer than your arm. And they, when you try bringing it, then this is a thing that's, I just want to toss this at you quickly. Being younger in the faith, and you probably are still a little bit naive in thinking that, hey, I love Jesus, so if we tell all these people who love Jesus the truth too, they're going to want to sit and listen, right? Well, yeah. I thought that, okay? I thought, oh man, everybody, if they find out that this is wrong and the Word of God says and we should be doing this, they're going to want to do it. Wrong. Talk about having your balloon and your bubble burst. I mean, seriously, it's naivete and it's definitely a novice thing. You have to get over it because you start talking to them about God's truth and you know what they told me and what they're going to tell you. Deal with it. We are the way we are. Nobody's perfect. We're just big old sinners. You're being unrealistic. Don't judge me. All of the normal platitudes. And they just keep going. While God's word calls us to follow holiness.
Amen.
If they don't follow holiness, it's like coming to a fork in the road. One fork goes to holiness and the other one in the opposite direction goes after sin and the broad way. If you start going off after holiness and leave the broad way, what happens? You have to separate. And I had to take my family and my wife, my children, and we had to separate. And it's a long story. You can listen to it on my website sometime if you have time, or I can share it with you more in depth. We had to come out of that religious system. We left everybody and everything behind. And we went out, and it's been a rocky road. But my testimony is coming out of a religious cult like that, so I know a lot about what it means to hear all the platitudes about if you're in a religious system to come out of there. And yeah, you probably have this mindset in your head. Everybody that you know that believes in Jesus and that you went to church with, if you sit down and you tell them this stuff, I can pretty much guarantee you, Alex, if you could find one other person in your entire church that would be willing to sit and listen to us for half an hour, it would be a miracle.
It's a miracle. If there was one, it'd be a miracle. We'd rejoice.
Yeah.
You believe that, Alex?
Yeah.
Brother Zelos is so right about that. And we all had to go through that when we find the truth and we think, oh, because we love our neighbor. Oh, everybody's going to want the truth. But Jesus said a puny few are going to come out and are going to want the truth. And what you have to do is get yourself out, purify yourself. And then God may eventually, use you to reach out to all those people you knew and offer them the truth, just like we're offering it to you. And then they all have to decide to repent and come out. But here's the key. And I'm glad Brother Zelos said it that way. We will not, and the goal is not to save that religious system. It's impossible. Those religious systems are set for the wrath of God. You know what our goal is? To call anyone who's a sheep out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like America. America is set for the wrath of God. She will not change. She's not going to become holy and godly. No. Our goal is to call people away and out of America living like it. So when the wrath come, God recognizes his elect people and they're not judged in the wrath. I use this example. Have you heard of the Titanic?
Yeah.
The big ship that sunk, right?
Yeah.
I preach this all the time. Guess what the people that survived said happened? When they knew that ship was going down, guess who survived? Guess what they did? How did they survive? I'll give you an option. They survived because they hung on to the mast or the part of the ship and they just hung on to it. Or they got far away from it in a lifeboat. Which people do you think survived?
The ones that got far away when they were with the lifeboat.
If you stay close to it, it sucks you down.
Yeah.
So we encourage people to get far away from man-made religion. And one day when you're ready, we'll help you witness to all those people and call, because we love them. We want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. But most of them are going to end up to be ready, enemies of God. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Would you believe that most of those people at that Pentecostal church, if we showed up and preached the truth to them, would you believe most of them would be the enemies of God? What if I told you that they would call the police on me, a peaceful, loving man, just coming there speaking the truth? Would you believe that?
I don't know about them calling the cops on you, but
it happens all the time.
Nah.
It happens all the time, young man. Because
they would listen to you, but I don't know about calling the cops.
How much would you? Well, we don't gamble, but to use a word to say, how much would you bet? How much would you bet that even one person would come out and talk to us?
One person would at least come out to talk to you.
Well,
you think one would, because in 99.9% of the churches, if you get one, it's usually somebody who wants to mock at you, yell some things at you, and then they call the cops and they don't talk to you. That's churchianity.
Yeah, the truth.
Sad but true.
Yeah, the truth is they're just not going to. And if there was one that would listen, most of them listen and then walk away, and they just never do nothing about it, and they stay there. So what I want to move on to is, so we agreed that they don't preach the biblical gospel, right?
Yeah.
Now that's our foundation. So their foundation is faulty. Do we need anything else to disqualify them as not being of God?
No.
No, that's all we need. But let's keep going. Do they keep the pagan holiday of Christmas?
Yeah.
Who ordained that? Where'd that come from? We talked about it yesterday.
From pagans, right?
Yeah, pagans, Roman Catholics. It's not even his birthday. Brother Zelos and I both have articles about Christmas on our websites. It has paganism in it. God never ordained it. Who makes days holy, young men? God or man?
God.
Yeah, and God never made Christmas a holiday, a holy day. Man did. So they practice that. Do they practice Easter and Good Friday?
Whenever you say they celebrate it, what do you mean by celebrate?
They practice it. They talk about it. They have services about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus didn't die on Friday. He didn't rise on Sunday. He died on Wednesday. He rose on Saturday. I have an article on that at my teaching blog. That's another lie. So we got Christmas. And didn't we already ordain, or excuse me, didn't we already decide that God ordained his ways? And if we do our own ways, well, here, I'm going to read it to you. If we do our own ways, I read it to you yesterday. I want to read it to you again today for your remembrance. Mark chapter 7. Jesus' own words. Well hath Isaiah prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, their hearts are far from me. Do you think that's the problem of many people at that church you go to? In their heart, they say they love God, but by their fruit, they don't show it, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he says, howbeit in vain. What did we say vain means yesterday?
Vain means worthless.
Very good, very good. You're a listener. And I think you might be a hearer, too. We're going to see. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, right? They've laid aside the biblical gospel. They laid aside what God says we should do. And they've added man-made traditions. Ye hold to the traditions of men. Do you know men started the Pentecostal church?
No, I did not.
Yeah, men started it in the 19th century. Did you know man created Christmas?
Yes.
Man created Easter and Good Friday.
Yes.
Man created all that fleshly instrumental music they're using. Man created youth pastors. Man created worship leaders. Man created men standing in a wooden box, the pulpit, doing all the teaching, and women teaching. Man created all that, not God. Those are the traditions of men we're talking about. He said, for laying aside the commandments of God, holding to the tradition of men, the washing of pots of cups, and such many other such things that you do. So Jesus warns, by keeping your own tradition, you void the worship of God. You don't even get that put on your record. You're not even considered worshiping God. You're practicing false religion. And we've already decided, you've admitted, the people there are worldly, aren't they? Sports, politics, TV, pride, vanity. Women wearing makeup and jewelry, showing their hair off. That's ungodly pride, vanity, and feminism. Men dressing in a way to make themselves look really good and dapper and make themselves attractive to other people. What is that? Is that godly or pride and vanity?
Pride and vanity.
Yeah. So, I mean, look at the sins. We haven't even been there. I haven't even looked at their website yet. I think Brother Zelos pulled it up yesterday, and we looked at it for like 5 seconds and said, yeah, it's a typical worldly church. If we looked at this, Alex, we could come up with probably 25 sins they keep. easily, quickly. And this isn't about knocking down those people. This is about lifting up God's truth and the biblical gospel. So you'll see it.
Yeah.
You'll run to it. You'll flee from them. And then one day, we would love to help them. But they got to want to have help like you.
Yeah.
They got to want to listen. They got to listen, then they got to be a hearer, then they got to do it.
Yeah.
And so you've seen the biblical gospel. You've heard it. You understand that that church system you're going to is not obeying and following Christ, and it's going to lead to their wrath and destruction. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So where do you go from here, young man?
The next step for me shall be leaving the church.
And how will you do that? What do you think is wisdom? Let's talk about that. You're going to go to the pastor and tell him all the things that you know and all this stuff, or are you just going to leave and go serve Christ and get yourself rooted? Which one do you think would be wise?
The second one.
Yeah. What's going to happen if you ask for a meeting with the pastors and elders or whatever? Do you think there's a way that they're probably really good with talking their words and throwing out things that you might not understand? Or they're going to say things like, oh, they're legalists, they're a cult, they're works-based, all these kind of foolish things that they can't prove in God's word. Or would it be wisdom for you just to leave and say, you know what, I'm going away. I'm going to study God's word for a while and see if what this is really biblical. And you go and you do that without letting them influence you anymore.
Yeah.
Because as Brother Zello said yesterday, you've been going there for what, 4 months?
Yeah.
And we told you more truth in an hour than they've told you in 4 months, you said. Is that true?
Yeah.
You want to keep getting truth from them?
No.
You're not getting truth from them, young man. We care for your soul. We want you to walk and follow after Christ.
Yeah.
So my admonition is for you... as somebody who loves you like as if you were my son or you're young enough to be my grandson. I have grandchildren your age. You know that?
No way.
Yeah way. I have grandchildren your age. You could be my grandson. For somebody that loves you like a grandson, I would encourage you to slip away from there and go and get in the Word of God, and we're here to help you. And not go back there. Don't go. You don't need to go give them an answer. You don't need to meet with anybody. Here's what they are. Ready? They are wolves, and you are a sheep of God. What happens when wolves get their hands on sheep?
They eat them.
They eat them. I can promise you this. There ain't no wolf that's going to get a sheep when I'm around. I'm going to fight for that sheep. I'm going to fight for that sheep. I'll shed my blood fighting for that sheep over that wolf. Those people, those lady pastors, that's not of God, that's feminism. Those men pastors that are allowing themselves to be worldly, false gospel, feminized, they are not in looking for your best interest and eternal life, young man. They're looking to keep people in their pews. Why do you think that is?
So, I don't know, so that they could continue to bring more people in.
Yep. Does that building take a lot of money to run?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, you think those pastors are working for free, or are they all making nice salaries?
Probably salaries.
Yeah. See, ready for this? You and I talked about before Brother Zellos got on. The latest survey I saw in America, 70% of the church's money, you know what it goes for?
What?
Buildings and salaries. 70%. There were no buildings in the New Testament body. They met in homes. They don't need buildings. You get that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were no religious buildings. After the temple, they never built religious buildings. They were the ecclesia, the called out ones. They met in homes and parks and barns and wherever. They didn't need no fancy buildings. God doesn't live in a building made by men's hands, does he?
No.
And those men in the Bible were not paid staff members. The money in the New Testament body went for widows, orphans, and for men to go preach the gospel. Big difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not parking lots, widescreen TVs, Christmas trees, pastor bonuses, youth programs. Brother Zelos is writing an article on youth programs. I have one on my website. Youth programs. Do you think you could find that in the Bible anywhere?
No.
Why do you think youth programs are unbiblical and carnal and fleshly?
I don't know.
Brother Zelos, you want to fill him in some bullet points?
Oh, man, I just finished an article on this today.
Good timing. Good timing, brother. Good timing.
I think I told you a few days ago it was on my heart to do it because I'm going to need it. And look where we are.
Yeah, because wait, hold on. Alex, you said you're like in a youth group, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go.
I'm just going to give you bullet points here.